For the preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto all which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. For God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, and base things of the world, and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things which are, that no flesh may glory in his sight. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or nakedness, or famine, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior. If I didn't have so much dignity, I'd have shouted a while ago. How about that singspiration? Wasn't that good? And did you know, by the way, I wanted to have the barbershop quartet, but only two of us showed up, so I couldn't do it. But did you notice that most of the songs were about the cross? And about the blood. What a wonderful thing is the cross and the blood. What a wonderful privilege it is. You cannot imagine, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot imagine the memories that flood my soul today. Seeing this church start with a meager beginning to come to where it is today. Great facilities. Wonderful pastor. Pretty good staff members, not good staff. Listen, folks, no church ever grows that doesn't have good staff members. And no pastor can ever do it by himself without good staff members. And I salute you staff members. God bless you. You've done a marvelous job. And Brother Rigsby, you are retired, I understand, but I'll tell you what that word means when I find out. But all the staff and the Sunday school, and those precious bus people, I've seen them through the years bring the little children in. Some of them are now grown. Some of them out serving God in different places that just came on a bus. Don't ever look lightly or disparagingly upon a bus ministry or a bus child. Somebody said, well, he was just a little kid that got saved. Well, Bobby Moffitt was just a little boy when he got saved, but he became one of the world's greatest missionaries. You never can tell. So keep your eyes open, your ears open, your heart open. It's wonderful to be a Christian, to be a part of this great church, and I thank God for it. Now, I want to say this. If I used to take a nap about this time. So if I go to sleep, it's your fault. If you go to sleep, it's my fault. I guarantee you, I'm not going to let you go to sleep. Open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you that when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about in the prophecy of Isaiah. When I think about Isaiah, I'm reminded of the Bible conference and the conversation among several of the preachers in that Bible conference, among whom was Dr. Harry Ironside. Harry Ironside pastored the Moody Church from 1930 to 1948. 18 years, folks, and only two Sundays that people were not saved in 18 years. Well, he was at the Bible conference, and the preachers were going around that morning asking, what did you read in your morning devotion this morning? Well, one preacher said, well, I read John chapter 14. One preacher said, I read Romans 8. One preacher said, I read 1 Corinthians 15. Dr. Ironside, what did you read in your devotion this morning? I read the book of Isaiah. Wow. The book of Isaiah. I'm not going to read the book of Isaiah this afternoon, but I am going to read the 53rd chapter. I'll never forget when I was in the Bible school here in Fort Worth, J. Frank Norris, Bible Baptist Seminary, 64 years ago or more. He had every student, before you pass this course, you memorize Isaiah 53. And could I tell you, without boasting or bragging, every night before I go to sleep, I quote Isaiah 53. Every morning before I get out of bed, I quote Isaiah 53. But I want to read it to you this afternoon. And I'm going to read, beginning at verse 1 and right down through the end of the chapter, verse number 12, after we join together in prayer. Father, how grateful we are for the 61 years that this church has served Thee. This church has made a difference in this community and in this state and in our nation and in our world through our great missionary program around the world. Now I pray that you would bless the reading of your word and the preaching today to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. For his sake we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and be satisfied, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Ladies and gentlemen, I have just read for you the most graphic description that we have of the crucifixion of our Lord in all the Bible. Neither Matthew, Mark, Luke, nor John, the four who recorded the Gospels, all four of whom recorded the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, none of them give the graphic description that we have in Isaiah 53. It was written 740 years before Christ was born. It was written by the prophet of redemption, also known as the messianic prophet, because he wrote so much about the Messiah. When we open our Bibles to Isaiah 53, ladies and gentlemen, we move reverently into the Holy of Holies. We climb anticipatingly up the Mount Everest of the Old Testament. We gaze with wonderment upon the most detailed picture of Jesus Christ that we have in all the sacred scripture. We digest carefully a summary of the gospel of the Son of God. We are at once consumed by the great passional. We tread softly into the high priestly office of the servant of Jehovah. We're completely dazzled by the holy, spotless, sinless character of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We see clearly the heart of the salvation of our loving Heavenly Father. And ladies and gentlemen, we're inspired to say with the beloved hymn writer, "Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary." Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for Christ. Thank God for the cross. And I want you to know that when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He was thinking about you and thinking about me. Looking down through the centuries, he saw us the day that we would kneel and confess him as our own personal Savior. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow, his head with radiant glory's crown, his lips with grace o'erflow. No mortal can with him compare. Fairer is he than all the fair who fill the heavenly train. He saw me plunged in deep despair and flew to my relief. He bore the shameful cross for me and carried all my grief. To him I owe my life and breath and all the joys that I crave. He makes me triumph over death and he saves me from the grave. I've entitled this message, and I want you to get the title, because everything I'm going to give you is anchored in the title. Here it is: Jesus and Our Sins. First, Jesus died for our sins. Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear what I said? Jesus died for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Very clearly, very compellingly, very convincingly, the Apostle Paul defines the gospel. And here it is, the gospel 101. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Everything about Christ, every prophecy, hundreds of them, fulfilled according to the Scriptures. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the prince of all preachers, said this: the four greatest words in the Bible are these: Christ died for us. I see in the second place, Jesus gave himself for our sins. Galatians 1, 4 and 5. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our fathers, to whom be glory forever and forever. He gave himself to rescue us from this present evil world, to rescue us from our sins, to rescue us from ourselves, to rescue us from hell. He gave his head to be crowned with thorns. He gave his hands to be nailed to the cross. He gave his side with a sword. He gave his feet to be crushed with spikes. He gave his life that we might live. Number three. Jesus purged us from our sins. Hebrews 1, verse 1. Paul wrote, and I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. If you don't believe he did, you'll get straightened out when you get to heaven. God, what a way to begin a verse with God. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now watch it. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now watch it. When he had, I love this, by himself, no help wanted, by himself, here it is, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty. Sorry about that, you left-handed folks. The right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem. Crown him Lord of all. I love that word purge. It means to purify. I'm looking at a bunch of purified people. Now, some of you don't always look like it and you don't always act like it. None of us do. We're all sinners saved by grace. And the old Adamic nature is still with us, but one day we'll be delivered from it all. Purged, to cleanse thoroughly from all defilement of sin. It's the act of purification by blood. Whose blood? Some sacrificial animal? Some martyr that gave it? No, no, no. Let Paul answer. Here we go. Paul, Hebrews chapter 9. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Number four. Jesus bore our sins. Now don't miss this. He bore our sins in his own body. So said Peter in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? It was your sins and mine that nailed him to the cross that day. I see the crowd in Pilate's hall. I mark their wrathful mien, their shouts of crucify, appalled with blasphemy between. And of that howling multitude, I feel that I am one. And in that din of voices rude, I recognize my own. 'Twas I that nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Christ of God. I joined the mockery. Around the cross, the throng I see mocking the sufferer's groan. But still my voice, it seems to me, as if I mocked alone. Number five. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. This is so good. I wish we had a long time, but I'm not going to keep you much longer. Nobody's gone to sleep yet. One fellow almost dozed off, but when I screamed, he opened up. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. 1 John chapter 2, at verse 1. My little children. Isn't that a... That's a title of endearment, isn't it? My little children. These things write unto you that you sin not. And now watch it. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. All 7 billion people in this world can be saved. God has not excluded anybody. God has not said, I'm going to save him, he's going to be lost. No. Whosoever will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I want you to notice two words in those verses. The first one is advocate. That word advocate means one who goes along to comfort, to assist, to encourage, to help. Come up here, son. You know I have a little problem walking, especially going down the steps. And if you came along by me and said, Dr. Barber, I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to help you go down those steps. You know what? You'd be my advocate. Have a seat. He makes a good advocate, doesn't he? My soul. I'm going to say it again. We are so fortunate to have such great staff members. I'll collect fellows after a while. The second word I want you to note is propitiation. That's a big word, but it simply means mercy seat. Come with me on a journey several centuries back to the old time in the Old Testament and the tabernacle. And here's the holy place, and there's a curtain, and here's the holy of holies, or the most holy place. And guess what? Only one man one and only one was permitted to go beyond that curtain into the Holy of Holies. And they always tied a rope around his ankle just in case he fainted or passed out or passed away. They wouldn't go in. They could drag him from beneath the curtain. Wow. I'm talking about Holy of Holies. And there was the mercy seat and the two cherubim that overshadowed the mercy seat. And on the 10th of October, Tishrei the 10th in the Hebrew month, remember, the Hebrews had two calendars, a sacred calendar and a secular calendar. The sacred calendar began in April and finished in March. The secular began in October and finished in September. On the 10th day of Tishrei, or October in our calendar, the high priest went beyond the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And there on the mercy seat, he sprinkled the blood that made an atonement for the sins of the people. Thank God Jesus went beyond the veil. He tore the veil in two from top to bottom. And he sprinkled his own blood to wash us from our sins. The mercy seat where God and sinners meet. The mercy seat where salvation was made complete. The mercy seat where the debt of sin was paid. The mercy seat where all my sins were laid. The mercy seat for refuge I did run. The mercy seat, God's only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The only Son whom he begat. The only Son whom he fathered. Remember, the angel said to Mary, the Holy Ghost will overshadow thee. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Highest. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Number 6, Jesus was manifest to take away our sins. Oh, I love this. In fact, I'm just kind of in love with all of it. 1 John 3, 4 and 5 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Take away our sins? Just how far did he take our sins from us? Can I let the psalmist answer that? Psalm 103 and verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now I want to ask, is anybody in this room, is there anybody who can tell me how far it is from the east to the west? You bright fellows up here, one of you ought to know that. See, nobody knows that. I don't know that. Pastor doesn't know that. You don't know that. The greatest scientists on earth don't know how far it is from east to west. The poet said, east is east and west is west, and never the twain shall meet. So if he separated my sins as far as the east from the west, I will never meet them again. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried neath the deepest sea, that is good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E gone. I feel better about the whole thing. One more, I'll be through. Jesus washed us from our sins. This is good, folks. Revelation. From the isle, the windswept Isle of Patmos, 30 miles off the West Asia course, continent, out 30 miles in the Aegean Sea, yonder was a man by the name of John. And John saw down through the centuries. John saw in Revelation 1, 5, and 6 this, and he said unto him, you know who that him is, unto him that loved us and here it is, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and forever. What can wash away my sins? We sang it a while ago. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, there's salvation in blood. There's sanctification in the blood. There's justification in the blood. There's glorification in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, Paul says in Hebrews 9:22, there is no remission. And in Ephesians 1:7, he wrote, in whom we have redemption through his blood. My Savior's blood for sins atone. He can save, and he alone. His blood he shed on Calvary's cross, a sinful world to save from loss. My sins on him the Father laid, the debt I owed he freely paid. My home in heaven he's gone to prepare. My friends and my loved ones I'll meet up there. You know, every time a loved one dies, heaven gets nearer and dearer. Most of you know that back in November I lost my brother. Greatest Christian I ever knew was Otis M. Barber. I miss him, but one of these days. By the way, he's up there having a good time. My mom and daddy and Mamie and all the rest of the crowd, it's already gone. And one day we'll all be there. I said, we'll all be there. Let me finish my poem here. Facing death, I have no fear. My precious Lord is ever near. 64 years his gospel I preached. As for the goal, I've faithfully reached. His timeless word I've read each day and followed his spirit all the way. Through the valley, he'll hold my hand and lead me to the promised land. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Let's stand for our prayer. Everybody's standing. I don't know what anybody's feeling now. You may feel like you just want to come and say, thank you, dear Jesus, for your shed blood on the cross. You may want to just come and say, thank you, God, for saving me. You may have a burden you want to bring. You may be lost and you want to be saved. You may want to join the church. This is a regular service in the afternoon. You can still join the church. You can still get saved. You can get saved anytime, anywhere, under any circumstance, long as you follow his word. Father, I thank you for everything you've done for us this day. Now bless the pastor as he comes to conclude, whatever way you lead him. In Jesus' name I pray.